Let's continue reading Genesis chapter 23. In this chapter, we have the death and burial of Sarah. We'll read the whole chapter, Genesis 23. Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. So Sarah died in Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan, and Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Then Abraham stood up before his dead and spoke to the sons of Heth, saying, I am a foreigner and a visitor among you. Give me property for a burial place among you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. And the sons of Heth answered Abraham, saying to him, Hear us, my lord. You are a mighty prince among us. Bury your dead in the choicest of our burial places. None of us will withhold from you his burial place, that you may bury your dead. Then Abraham stood up and bowed himself to the people of the land, the sons of Heth. And he spoke with them, saying, If it is your wish that I bury my dead out of my sight, hear me, and meet with Ephron, the son of Zohar, for me, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he has, which is at the end of his field. Let him give it to me at the full price, as property for a burial place among you. Now Ephron dwelt among the sons of Heth, and Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the presence of the sons of Heth, all who entered at the gate of his city, saying, No, my lord, hear me. I give you the field and the cave that is in it. I give it to you in the presence of the sons of my people. I give it to you. Bury your dead. Then Abraham bowed himself down before the people of the land. And he spoke to Ephron in the hearing of the people of the land, saying, If you will give it, please hear me. I will give you money for the field. Take it from me, and I will bury my dead there. And Ephron answered Abraham, saying to him, My lord, listen to me. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that between you and me? So bury your dead. And Abraham listened to Ephron. And Abraham weighed out the silver for Ephron, which he had named in the hearing of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, currency of the merchants. So the field of Ephron, which was in Machpelah, which was before Mamre, the field and the cave which was in it, and all the trees that were in the field, which were within all the surrounding borders, were deeded to Abraham as a possession in the presence of the sons of Heth, before all who went in at the gate of his city. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah before Mamre, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. So the field and the cave that is in it were deeded to Abraham by the sons of Heth as property for a burial place. Once again, let's begin with some background notes. In verse 1, we read that Sarah died at 127 years old. She's the only woman in the Bible whose age is given, both here and in chapter 17. In order to give Sarah a proper burial in the land, Abraham bought a field containing a cave known as the Field and Cave of Machpelah. He bought the burial site from Ephron the Hittite. The Hittites were a non-Semitic people, and their main location was in what is now Turkey. But pockets of Hittites were living in Canaan during the patriarchal times. In fact, the negotiations between Abraham and Ephron seemed to reflect Hittite custom when Ephron insisted that Abraham take the field as well as the cave. According to Hittite custom, that made Abraham fully responsible for the upkeep and dues on the cave. Now, the negotiations between Abraham and Ephron may further reflect a certain Bedouin-type bargaining or haggling process, where the seller offers the desired item first as a gift. Look there in verse 11 once again. No, my lord, hear me. I give you the field and the cave that is in it. I give it to you in the presence of the sons of my people. I give it to you. Bury your dead. But then, you see, the seller gives the supposed value of this expensive gift, always an inflated price. In this case, 400 shekels of silver. But that was where the bargaining was expected to begin. I mean, we know this is an inflated price. If you go to Jeremiah 32, verse 9, where Jeremiah buys a field for 17 shekels of silver. Now, maybe Ephron is taking advantage of Abraham here, because Abraham, you understand, is in a state of grief. But in this case, Abraham did not bargain. He did not haggle. He paid the full outrageous price of 400 shekels of silver. Why? Either because Abraham was grieving and did not want to be involved in any kind of bargaining process, or Abraham did not want to be indebted to Ephron in any way. In any case, Abraham bought the field and the cave of Machpelah, and there he buried Sarah. Later, Abraham himself was buried here, and also Isaac and Rebekah were buried here, and also Jacob and Leah were buried here. You can visit the cave of Machpelah today. It's beneath a Muslim mosque in Hebron. Now let's move on to our doctrinal or teaching points. So doctrinal point number one, the believer's death should be a demonstration of great faith. The believer's death should be a demonstration of great faith. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13, we read, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Who's being referred to in this verse? These all died in faith. Well, if you look back at the passage, we find that it's all the faithful believers, from Abel on down, including Sarah. Look at verse 11. "By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised." So Sarah was a woman of faith. Even though Sarah had some doubts along the way, you remember Sarah laughed, you remember, and had to be rebuked by the Lord himself. Yet overall, Sarah was a woman of faith. She lived by faith, and she died in faith. That's what Hebrews 11 says. Now, what does it mean to die in faith? It means to face death without wavering in your faith. To die in faith means to trust the Lord fully, right to the end. This was true of Sarah. It should be true of us. The believer's death should be a demonstration of great faith. It's one thing to demonstrate your faith when you are living. It's quite another thing to demonstrate your faith when you are dying. The way you face death can be a demonstration of great faith. Many of you know my colleague, Jim Catron. Right now, Jim has cancer, and every day he faces the possible prospect of death in the near future. But Jim Catron is an outstanding demonstration of great faith. There's no questioning of God's sovereign ways or of God's goodness. There are no doubts concerning the faith. Jim is a great example of a great faith. How will you face death? How will I face death? Let's pray that it'll be a demonstration of great faith. The believer's death should be a demonstration of great faith. Doctrinal or teaching point number two, the believer's death should be a time of great witness. The believer's death should be a time of great witness. Sarah's funeral was a great witness to the people of the land. In what way? In that day and in that culture, the custom was to bury your dead in the land of your fathers, the land where your relatives lived. That was home. Abraham's relatives did not live in Canaan. Abraham's relatives lived in the area of Haran, about 500 miles away. But God had promised Abraham the land of Canaan. That was now home, even though Abraham at this point was still a sojourner in the land. When Abraham buried Sarah in the land of Canaan rather than return to Haran or Ur, it was a great witness to his faith in God. And the people of the land would have recognized his faith. Not only was Abraham acknowledged as, verse 6, a mighty prince among us, they say, but he would have been recognized as a man of great faith in his God. So you see, Sarah's funeral was a great witness to the surrounding community. Did you know that your funeral can be a great witness as well? Every Christian funeral should be a witness, just in the way we as Christians handle ourselves. We sorrow, but not as others sorrow who have no hope. We know that we will see the believer once again, the believer who has died, we'll see them again in heaven. But more than just a witness in general. A Christian funeral can be a great witness in the way it is planned. You know, before my father died, he left specific instructions in writing that the gospel was to be clearly proclaimed at his funeral. I had the opportunity to take my dad's funeral. It's tough to do, but it was a joy to carry out my father's instructions. There were a number of unbelievers there, and they heard the gospel in no uncertain terms. It was a great witness to them. The believer's death should be a time of great witness. A few years ago, there was a Christian girl from our town who was tragically killed in a car accident. Rather than have a funeral service before the burial, the parents planned a large memorial service after the burial. In this way, all the unbelieving friends and neighbors were forced, out of respect, to come and hear the message of Christ. It was a time of great witness. Sarah's death was a time of great witness. Your death can be a time of great witness. The believer's death should be a time of great witness. Let's move now to our practical application. Practical application number one. It's not wrong for you to grieve. It's not wrong for you to grieve. In verse 2, we read that Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Well, wait a minute. Why is Abraham grieving here? I thought Abraham was a great man of faith and trusted God to meet his needs and knew that Sarah was with the Lord and knew that he would see Sarah again in glory. Yes, that's all true. But that does not mean that it was not a time of sorrow and great loss for Abraham. This was his wife for many years. Faith does not set aside natural affection. It was not a lack of faith that caused Abraham to grieve. And the same is true in our lives. We do not sorrow as others sorrow. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But we do sorrow. We don't grieve continuously, and we don't grieve too long, but we do grieve. It was not wrong for Abraham to grieve. It's not wrong for you to grieve. Practical application number two. Let's not distort the biblical concept of death. Let's not distort the biblical concept of death. The Bible teaches that for the believer, death is but a stepping stone to glory. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8. The body goes to dust to await the resurrection. Now, I think as Christians, we can distort this truth by prolonged and elaborate viewings of the body. I think the Jewish way, then and now, of burying the body quickly without any viewing is probably more in line with the biblical concept of death. Margie and I have already agreed that we do not want any open caskets at our funerals. The worst thing I can think of is people commenting over my dead body. Doesn't he look nice? Didn't they do a good job on him? I want people to think of me as with the Lord. My body's going into the ground to await resurrection. Let's not distort the biblical concept of death.